RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Had the pause in the season, the interruption to COVID, and then we had the restart, and it was amazing how quickly we've gone through that with the restart. And when you think about we just had the PGA Championship, and then you had 1 week, which was the Wyndham Championship, and then here we are with the top 125 players, really 123 that started the event because Vaughn Taylor and Brooks Koepka withdrew due to injuries. Ryan Moore withdrew during the first round. So, you know, we're down to 122 players in the event, and 70 move on next week. I mean, it used to be when they had four playoff events, you went from 125 to 100, then down to 70, then down to 30. But, you know, some players would skip events. But now, listen, you want to win the FedEx Cup, you've got to play all three events. And I think that's why we saw Tiger even before the Friday deadline saying he's playing the BMW Championship. You've got to commit to play there if you've qualified to make your way to Atlanta. So I think it's worked out the way the PGA Tour has done the playoffs. I mean, you think about the FedEx Cup and how many years it's – 2007 when it first came in. It's like been 13 years of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and there was some skepticism when it started, but I think it's worked out. It gives players something to play for at the end of the season. The ultimate prize, the FedEx Cup, $15 million. It's pretty incredible, and the players have embraced it, and it creates some great drama.
Jeff, what do you think here? The three-week coming up.
You know, it's a $15 million annuity, Kev. Come on, it's not exactly $15 million, but I would take it. Kev, I was surprised to see Brooks Koepka this week pulled out for injury, and you had a bad week last week in the event, or bad finish the last day. Anything you know about that? Any insight you can give us on that?
Well, he cited knee and hip, so you know we knew about the knee issue that may have it cleaned out again. The hip, I remember the PGA, I want to say it was the first round at Harding Park. It was the first or second round, and he had his, they call it physio, but, you know, had someone there to work on him, was stretching him out during a round. He laid down to do it. So there'd been a hip issue there. Maybe that's because of the knee. It is developed into a hip. I mean, the amount of golf balls and torque they put on their bodies and the work they've got to do to prepare themselves to play, the wear and tear. I mean, we saw it with Tiger Woods. We've seen it with Jason Day. Even Dustin Johnson's had, a bit of a knee issue. Now we're seeing with Brooks Koepka. Every golfer, they get injuries. You're like, how the hell do golfers get injuries? Listen, these guys are fine to their Ferraris, their sports cars. And things are get tweaked here and there. So I think Koepka, you know, also positioning, you know, came in 97th in the FedEx Cup standings. And I think he knew he just didn't have it. So he withdrew to rest. He's got the U.S. Open coming up. So this is just my guess. My guess is he figured, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to advance. I'm not where I need to be. If I can rest and probably got a lot of advice with this and do some rehab, then he'd be ready to play wing foot in September.
I think with Koepka too, I mean, his attitude we've seen is like, I'm coming to win. So I think it backs up what you're saying, Kevin, is look, if he doesn't think he can win, he's not showing up thinking, hey, I'll try to get a top 20 here. Like, that's not Brooks Koepka's goal right now with his professional life. He's showing up thinking, I am here to win. And, you know, kind of like the Tiger mentality of old. Like, I think he's set the bar high enough now for himself that he's not just there to show up and, well, I'm not 100%. Let's see if we can make the cut. And let's, you know, that's not what he's about right now. He's there. He's like, I'm either going to here to try to win, or if I can't, and I know I can't, then I understand the decision. He obviously has throughout this season talked numerous times about that he hasn't felt 100%. I give him credit, Kevin, because look how often he's contended to win, including going into that final round of the major, the PGA Championship 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And listen, he didn't say anything about nagging injuries at the final round of the PGA Championship, but like he went to the Wyndham Championship and didn't even make the cut, where, you know, birdies were being produced. So something certainly was off. He played a lot of golf for the 8 weeks in a row for it. So if something was a nagging injury there, he's out. So, you know, I just think he might be able to get it better for a wing foot. But, you know, there's so many other stories, you know, here at TPC Boston this week with players advancing, looking to, you know, get the cup. Brian, a guy. All right, go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, before we move on from Koepka, one player with a connection to Koepka talked this week. That was Dustin Johnson. We spent a lot of time on last week's show talking about Koepka's comments about, hey, look at the top of the PGA Tour leaderboard or the PGA Championship leaderboard going into that final round. Nobody's won a major other than DJ. He's got one, but he's had trouble closing it out, all that sort of stuff. And then obviously Brooks had quite a poor final round. In fact, the second worst round amongst the field. DJ, though, talked this week when asked about the comments. DJ said, you know, I'm not fazed with that one major slight. He says, quote, it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me. He can think whatever he wants. So there's DJ's thoughts. We've heard from Rory last week, and there's DJ. I thought those two were kind of tight, Kevin. So I still am surprised Koepka said it, but I guess the two of them, you know, whatever.
Maybe there's a falling out. Who knows? You know, Dustin Johnson's the best, though, isn't he? Yeah, whatever, right? I mean, it's just attitude on the course, Jeff, right? You know, it's on bounds. Okay, I'll move on. Like, that's how he is in life. And I just think, you know, Dustin Johnson's got 21 wins in the PGA Tour. He's got a major. He's probably going to win another one at some point. You got to think. He's so talented. You know, what the hell does he care?
Yeah, he's not thinking too much about what Brooks thinks. He's thinking about his own game. It's a big fraternity, too. There's you know, a bunch of guys out there and a bunch of people around him. And, you know, he's involved in what he's trying to do. And Brooks, you know, I'm a big Brooks fan. Little shine came off his rose there for me this week. Some of his comments and some of his attitude I thought were a little off-putting. But, you know, otherwise, great event. And, you know, we talked about Colin Morikawa. And we got 3 weeks of great golf ahead of us. And that's what I'm excited about. I think you're right, Kevin. I think the PGA Tour has done it right. And over the years, they've fine-tuned this and made this event better and better. And now it's exciting golf, and it's something you look forward to every year.
Now, Brian, I want to bring up somebody that you played golf with several years ago, and that's Sebastian Munoz. So I was going to bring him up because in the first round, what a way to start. Seven consecutive birdies to start a round of golf. He had the perfect game going. And then he reaches the par 3 eighth hole, very difficult hole, 225 yards, was playing on Thursday, and he pushed it right, made a really great up and down to keep it going. And then he gets to the ninth tee box. He's got a chance to shoot sub 30. All he's going to do is get par. And he's shooting 29 on the front. Hits a great drive on a very difficult driving hole. Most players leave it out to the right side in the rough. It's a dog leg left to avoid the hazard. He stripes it. 155 center of the fairway to a right hole location. There's a sideboard there. Like, you don't hit the green. It'll just feed down in there. And he just loses it, you know, pushes it to the right, double cross, whatever. Bad shot. I mean, bad shot. It was stunningly bad. And there's no way he can get the ball close. Runs it over, you know, runs it off, had like 30 feet, ran it by. He ends up making double bogey. But he still finished at 600 par. A great round of golf. These are the stories that we see in the playoffs. The guy enters the week 16th in FedEx Cup standings. He won his first event last fall, the Sanderson Farms Championship, but played very well throughout the entire season. He's got a chance. He's got a chance to play well over 3 weeks and win the FedEx Cup. I don't think anybody would have thought that when they started the 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, because in July of 2018, I was playing with him at Peak and Peak in the web.com, the Pro-Am event. So for him to go from there to there in a season and a half, like, kudos to him. I really enjoyed my round with him. You know, obviously you wouldn't, of course you're going to enjoy a round playing with a professional golfer of that magnitude and that level, but he couldn't have been nicer when we played. So now I've got he's got a fan in me. I'm rooting for him, following him, and I hope he does well. He was so nice and encouraging when we played. I remember the most, though, from that round is that he was on me because when we played that July, it was the World Cup for soccer, and Colombia was playing, where he's from, during that round. And I was like, all he wants to do right now is watch the World Cup. But he's in here playing this Pro-Am with us. And I said to him, I'm like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I wish you could – I know you want to watch this. And he goes, all I ask of you, he goes, your phone's good. He goes, just keep me updated on the score. So, like, every tee box I'm checking it for, I'm like, all right, it's still, you know, whatever it was, the score and everything. I felt like that was my secondary job while we were playing. But, no, he was great. And, yeah, there's so many stories like this. I wouldn't put him in this category, but, Kevin, you remember Billy Horschel from 3-4 years ago, just went on a tear, got hot, wins. It changed his whole PGA Tour life. And, you know, I think Horschel had established himself a little bit more than what Munoz has at this point, but the point that you just made is any player at this point, they all have the caliber. You have a hot 2 out of 3 weeks, and your professional and life and family's life could change forever.
Well, it certainly can. Let's even go back to last week. Jim Herman. You know what? I'm just going to be blunt. I think Jim would probably agree with this. And Jim, by the way, is a Donald Ross ambassador. Those are close. Matter of fact, when he just started wearing it, it was at the Arnold Palmer. I saw him. We're on the. And Jim's not a big guy. I said, "Hey, Jim, how do you like the Donald Ross gear?" And he's like, "Oh, it's really good." I said, "Yeah, I do a show in Buffalo. They're from there, and Rob and John wanted me to say hello to you." And he's like, "Oh yeah, you know what I like about it?" He goes, "I can wear a medium."
Yeah, they're large. They don't run big anymore, but they did run big for a while.
So I was like, "Yes, I like that too." But anyway. Jim Herman plays the Wyndham Championship. He needed to win the event or finish second to make the playoffs and secure his card. And he does it. I mean, just incredible. Nobody picked Jim Herman going into last week. Nobody. Nobody saw it coming. Jim Herman went out and won the Wyndham Championship and makes the playoffs. Now he's got to play again well this week to continue on, but it's just – that's the great stuff that you see in golf with this structure they have. It's one of the great stories.
Kev, how old is Jim Herman? I mean, this guy's been grinding on the tour for how long? I mean,
he's 42. He's 42 years old.
42 years old. Yeah. And he's not prolific off the tee. There's nothing about his game that jumps out at you, is there? I mean,
he's a very good ball striker. Well, he's known as a good ball striker, okay?
But no one knows because no one watches him, right?
It's streaky for sure. The guy's won three times on the PGA Tour. He has won three events on the PGA Tour, which, you say, really? But, yes, that's how it works. A guy like Scott Piercy played well in round one. There's a guy who's won several times on the PGA Tour. There's so many good players, pros that are so capable of doing things, especially on a golf course like TPC Boston, where it used to be a bomber's paradise. They've made renovations to it. Certainly you have advantages in some holes, but you know, there's a premium on fairways and greens here on the golf course, and that's why anybody can win this week.
Thanks for joining us here on Tee to Green. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester from TPC Boston at the Northern Trust, Jeff Mitas, our PGA pro here as well. Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, Jim Beam, and our home clubs, Tanterra Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. We're checking our PGA Tour leaderboard this week at the Northern Trust, and it's brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different, and also by Puma Golf Shoes. Kevin, this event has had so many, I feel like, just epic, like you said, shootout finishes. Whether we get a score under par as much as we've seen in the past, you said with the changes, maybe we won't, maybe we will. But our listeners maybe watch this weekend, but what are some of the things about this course that you like? Because I know you've covered it now multiple times, right? This is not the first time you've been here. What should we be looking for, especially as we watch here, maybe who kind of is dueling it out here down the stretch on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, because this event, Northern Trust, now it rotates between the New York City area and Boston every other year. So, you know, last year's at Liberty National, which is an incredible property. I was there for that last year, and, you know, it's back here, TPC Boston, this year. I'll be back in 2022. But what you're going to see is players need to take advantage of the first seven holes. You know, those are scoring opportunities on the first seven holes.
Like and making seven birdies in a row to start.
Oh yeah, like off. Well, yeah, making seven. Well, okay. But you, yeah, well, right. It's exactly right, Jeff. Right. Well, but in those first seven holes, you have a drivable par four. That's the fourth hole. Three is a tough birdie. That par three. The par threes in this golf course are very tough. That's one thing that stands out. I mean, really difficult par threes. But you have par fives that are reachable in two. The second hole, the seventh hole, and the 18th. There's only three par threes in the golf course. It's a par 71. But prior to, you know, when you get to the back nine, prior to reaching that 18th hole, it is difficult. 10's a tough driving hole. Most guys won't hit driver because it's a hazard on each side. Then you get to 11. It's an uphill 200-plus yard par three with a sideboard on the left and multiple undulations in the green. 12, they extended over 500 yards. That's a tough par four. 13 is a birdie hole, depending upon the winds. 14 is a difficult par four. 15, difficult green, and there's moguls all around, tough driving hole. Then you get to 16. It's the shortest of the par threes, but it's got an upper plateau, and it's really, I think, difficult putting green, and there's a water hazard, and they tuck that to the left. That's an issue. 17. It's an iron off the tee. It's a downhill. They got a big pimple in the middle of the green. So you've got that factors in where you got to hit it at the right level. But then 18, this is where you can have great finishes because it is reachable in two for most players in the field. The green almost reminds me of the sixth hole at Country Club of Buffalo, the Volcano Green. It's not as high as that, but it has all this a trouble and trickiness and all these undulations in it. So even if you get there in two, there's no bargain that you're going to even two putt for birdie. You can four putt it. Incredibly volatile down the stretch. So that's what you're going to see. And that's why I think the golf course is great because it offers so much and it's a huge property, Jeff. Most the holes, you know, even if they run adjacent, there's so much space in between them. It's almost every single hole is its own little stadium.
Which is cool, except unfortunately there'd be a lot of room for fans, but they're not there this week. Now this is what is this your?
I don't miss seeing all the Patriots gear.
That's right.
Good point. Yeah.
So Kevin, your job logistically for those that maybe I know you've mentioned this a couple times, but just maybe for those hearing it for the first time, your job logistically for PGA Tour Radio, like it's a little different not having all the fans around, both good and bad, right? You gotta watch how loud you are. You also have a little easier navigation too, though.
Yeah, it is easier to navigate. I don't walk as much because I don't need to because, you know, I don't have to maneuver through the fans and walk inside the ropes. I drive a cart while following a group. But with that, I've got to be careful because there's no cover. with that. And without fans there, again, no cover to mute things. So I have to position myself a little further away than perhaps normal to see things. Sometimes it's a bit of a challenge. And I got to make sure that the players don't hear me. We're not disrupting them. It's been happening a lot with players where, you know, they'll be like, hey, are you going to wait? Round one, Dan, I was following Dan Burgers, Roy McIlroy, and Brendan Todd. And there was a cameraman who was from Buffalo, oddly enough. He was ready to, you know, get in his cart, and Dan Berger had the tee after just making a birdie at the fifth hole. And he goes, you're going to stay there, right? He turned right to the cameraman with driver in his hand. And he's like, yes. He's like, okay, good. So those sort of things are happening. But all in all, I think one of the neat things is seeing the golf course without the structures. It's a different look for this golf course. Like 17 used to be like a little amphitheater around the green. And now they're heading down to, there's a camera tower and some signage, but it's so much more open. So it's even a different look for the players with that. And I will say this, Brian, Matt Kuchar spoke about this without the fans there. How could it affect? How's it different? Not so much the cover, but he talked about Colonial on the restart when Dan Berger beat Colin Morikawa in the playoff. And he said, you know, they started on 17. He goes, here's where fans may have affected things. Dan Berger hit a shot that was right at the hole. It looked like an unbelievable shot. It trickled off into the rough. Colin Morikawa didn't know, probably figured he had to hit an unbelievable shot too, because Berger just stuffed one in there. But Morikawa, because it's an elevated green, had no way of knowing the ball rolled off the putting surface. If the fans were there, Cooch said they would have reacted, and he would have seen the reaction and known, okay, I don't have to play as aggressively while going after. I thought it was fascinating, something I hadn't thought about without the fans being there.
Kev, I got a question for you. You know, you play a ton of golf, as we all know, in the – And you also get
to look at the transition to this right away. Right. I love it.
Wow. It's like Jeff, is my wife on the show here? What?
We held Jeff for 20 minutes on this weekly take. So, all right, Jeff, let me check that off my list. All right, Jeff, ripped into Kevin for playing too much golf. All right, that's good for this week. Go ahead.
You played every golf course there is in Western New York, is what I'm saying.
That's not true, actually, but there's a few I haven't played. But anyhow,
my question being, all right, go ahead.
can you frame for the average golfer what the difference between, say, you playing country, you talked about Country Club of Buffalo, versus a tour event? What can you surmise or deduce or somehow describe the difference between what an average setup, even for an invitational, is versus a tour event? How different it is.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, when you're – all right, so what I typically see at PGA Tour events, even in the playoffs, now a lot of it depends on how the area has gotten rain. So they've had a dry summer up here in Boston. So there is, and if you're going to watch the golf, you'll notice some brown spots on the fairways. All right. It's firm and fast. This golf course is running firm and fast. Greens, they've kept them a little bit soft, but they're running really fast.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
See rough, they typically let it grow before an event. 2.5 inches would be your typical rough there, because they want to make it a challenge and have a premium on the fairways. But this golf course has wider fairways with that. And so I think it's easier to find the fairways on this golf course as opposed to maybe some other golf courses. But Jeff, let me try to answer this differently. When I worked Kapalua a couple of years ago, Century Tournament of Champions, I got a chance to play it the next morning. Everything was set up the same exact way as it was. And we played the tips. We played from where the pros played, knowing we're going to get crushed, right? I mean, just no shot. And I shot 91 that day. I was thrilled with that number. But what I will tell you is the sight lines, like, you had to know. If I wasn't following golfers that day, I wouldn't have known the sight lines, where to hit it, what to avoid. This rough's penal over there, this penalty area over here. They set things up visually where you have to know the golf course and have a line to hit the golf ball. I'll give you an example on the 14th hole. For the players, like, they can't see some of the danger down there, but they know there's a hill on the left side. If they catch it right, a speed slot will run it down. If they miss it just to the left, they are in deep doo-doo when it comes to 18. When they're teeing off, there are cross bunkers on the 18th hole. They try to hit it past the bunkers on the left, the first two, but if they run it far enough, it's going to go in a cross bunker there. So there are things that are set up that they can't see on the tee, but they know are there. We typically don't have those things at our clubs that we play. How many golf courses in Western New York have cross bunkers? Like, we have fairway bunkers on the left and right side to avoid, but we don't have ones that come at an angle that there's moguls feeding that way in there. So that's what that, you know, and each golf course has those things. Some of them are unique. They continually tweak those things. Like, on the 18th, they put a little pot bunker on the left side, kind of a bailout spot, but it kind of eliminates the bailout spot difficulty there. So they're always tweaking these golf courses to, from what I'm seeing, put a premium on precision, not just distance.
Okay. Good take there. All right.
I hope that answered it. Did that answer the question, Jeff? I mean, did that make sense?
Yeah. I guess I was, trying to, the difficulty between playing on a members club and playing at a tour facility while it's set up for a tour event, to me is vastly different. And I think sometimes people, television belies that because they see nothing but good shots from the leaders, and the facilities are really set up pretty difficult.
Yes. They will get the greens to a point and hole locations to a point that are round one, the ninth hole, there is a cross bunker 25 yards from the green. Now, that's not really in play for the players, but there's a sideboard and a frontboard, if you will. So the fairway cut runs down towards the hole, and players were counting on that to run down there, but they had it cut the other way into the grain, so the ball would land and stick and not feed to the hole. That's hard. Then you've got a short chip, or you've got a putt from there to a front hole location. Very difficult to get that close. Very difficult to judge that from shorter distances. So these players spin the ball all the time. when they hit it in a hazard, you'll see them go back to 110 yards instead of, you know, where we typically, I want to drop that as close as I can because I think I can knock that in. Well, they put so much spin on the ball, they want to be able to control the golf ball where they don't want to spin it off the green or not be able to spin it. So there's all these factors because of hole locations that make it extremely difficult. And then those sight lines and angles that they have to take.
All right, good insight there. Take a quick timeout here on Tee to Green. When we come back, Western New York PGA, tip of the week. Did you see the U.S. Amateur last week? It was the Fog Bowl. It was like the Bears and the Eagles all over again from back from the playoffs in the 90s. We'll get to that. Phoenix Open, some news on next year's tournament. Tiger, what's he up to with his putter? Stacey Lewis on pace of play. I got a lot to get to. Let's try to jam it all in here. Let's roll on. Take a quick timeout. Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas. I'm Brian Colzio. More Tee to Green coming up right after this quick timeout. Welcome back to segment number two here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Tee to Green every Saturday, 7 to 8 right here. Brian Colzio, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas. Kevin joining us from the Northern Trust, TPC Boston. Of course, you can listen to Kevin on PGA Tour Radio this weekend, so feel free to tune into that. While we talked quite a bit about that event, the first of the FedEx Cup playoffs in segment number one, if you missed it, we'll have it up on our on-demand audio section a little bit later this morning at WGR550.com. Let's now shift gears and go to our Western New York PGA tip of the week, and it's brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. We're going to get Jeff's insight on club selection off the tee. I was talking with Jeff during the break about how I said I'm hitting three wood, Jeff, more than I ever have in my life. I feel like the distance I'm getting with my three wood now, in a good way, is so close to what I'm getting with the driver that I'm hitting it so much more. Sometimes I'm sitting there on the tee saying, well, this hole I always hit driver, but I've just hit my last, you know, handful of three woods great, and I don't feel like I'm losing much distance. And even with the hybrids now, the new Maverick clubs that I'm hitting this year from Callaway, just that we've gotten this year, Kevin and I are playing, have just been tremendous. But I wanted to talk to you about club selection. Like, is it okay that I'm hitting more three woods than I ever have? And just talk about that decision-making when you step up to the tee box.
You know, a lot of people are going to hit their three wood way better than their driver. First of all, it's a little shorter, so you get around on it a little quicker. Some people rotate quicker with a little shorter club, and that also helps you hit the center of the blade a little bit easier. The other thing is most people have a driver with too little loft. You know, they see the number on the bottom. It's an ego thing. They want 8.5 or 9.5. The loft is immaterial on the bottom of the club. You need to launch it at a certain height. You know, think of throwing a football or a baseball as far as you can. What kind of parabolic arc would it have? Most people's drivers go too low. So I think the three wood off the tee is good for most golfers, right? Because it's a little shorter, teed a little lower. And oftentimes you're probably way more confident with your three wood than you are with your driver, right? The thing I would say is on par fives or holes where you have a chance to get there in two, you know, I'm going to go with the driver. I'm going to let it sling out there and see what can happen. Give myself a chance to make a really low score on this hole. Hybrid, that's more for you're just really trying to keep it in play. And sometimes, you know, you're having a bad round. Say your driver's going bad, your three wood's going bad. Bump back to your hybrid. Keep that ball in play. Keep the ball in front of you. Give yourself a chance to make some birdies and some pars. You know, get near the green in two and chip, get up and down. But I don't disagree with hitting the three wood off the tee. I think it's great for most golfers. They're going to hit it better. They're going to be more confident. They're going to hit more good tee shots and hit further.
I want to agree, and then I'll let Kevin jump in on this. When you said with it just being a little shorter of a shaft, I definitely feel like that complete turn that I know you're looking for me for. I feel that so much more naturally with the three wood, and I feel like my acceleration's better, my club speed's better, like all that sort of stuff. I know some of this is between the ears, but all that matters, I'm sure, when you're starting to swing.
It does. And, you know, think of, you can't get around on a fastball. Do you go to a longer, heavier bat? No. You go to a shorter, lighter bat. What's a three wood? A shorter, lighter bat. And a lot of people will rotate quicker and create more speed with a three wood than they would with a longer club, the driver. The other thing with the driver, it's got less loft and it exacerbates any misses. So any slices, hooks, or pulls or anything like that with a less loft, it'll put more side spin on it. The three wood will hit it straighter because it'll have more backspin.
Here's what I will say to this. Know your numbers, meaning know what your distance typically is with your hybrid, with your three wood, the other clubs, 5-iron, 4-iron, and then do some math out there. Most tees that our listeners are playing, if they're playing members tees, whatever, the white, blue, whatever, there's some holes, if it's a 380-yard par 4, well, do a little math. If you need to hit it 215 yards, what club will you feel comfortable hitting into the green? I know the analytics will tell you hit it as far as you can with a rough, but, hey, we were talking last segment about conditions and if it's thick or rough. Well, if there's a premium on fairway, get yourself in the fairway. If you got to hit a longer club in the green, you hit a longer club into the green. But it's about hitting fairways and greens. And sometimes it's about eliminating trouble with doing so. And just know your game. It's so important. If you can eliminate problems with, fairway bunkers, if you can hit shorter to avoid those, do so. Right, Jeff? I mean, give yourself a chance.
Yeah, plus confidence makes such a big deal, Brian. As you said, you're much more confident. You feel much more comfortable. You're going to make a better move, than you may have made it with the driver. And sometimes those misses with the driver can be a lot bigger. So hit that 3-wood, get the, lose 10, 15 yards and put it between the trees and give yourself a shot at the green.
Good advice. You can get more great tips. Check out our website. Jeff's got a lot of videos up there with tips on how to hit the driver, how to hit the 3-wood and others. T2green.golf is the website. Also, Western New York PGA, a lot of great information on how you can get involved in the game, WNYPGA.com. Before we move on to something else, congratulations to one of the Western New York PGA pros this week, Jeff. Rob Krajewski ends up winning the 2020 Western New York PGA Section Championship.
Yeah, I've known Rob since he's 16 years old. Great athlete, real nice kid, really good player. Biggest win of his career. We're all very happy for Rob.
Yeah, congratulations. That took place this week, the tournament at Cobblestone in Rochester.
Right, yeah, Neil Reed is the pro there, very fine player, doesn't play much, goes out and shoots 400 the first day and ends up losing in the four-hole playoff. Really good athlete, really good player, really tough golf course. Those are some very, very good scores on that golf course.
That is a very tough golf course. Fun course to play, too.
Yeah.
Hey, before we take another break here on Tee to Green, let's talk for a minute or two about the U.S. Amateur. It was played last week, Bandon Dunes, and the final stretch of holes in the finals, by the way, if you don't know, it's match play. It's 36 holes. And as the two competitors were coming down the stretch, Kevin, it was, a scene from the Bears-Eagles playoff game from the 90s. The fog rolled in off the ocean, just like it did from Lake Michigan at Soldier Field. But the shot that Tyler Strafasi hit on the final hole, on hole 36, 245 out, and he knocks a 3-iron right on the doorstep, ends up coming in to tap in a birdie to win. He wins in dramatic fashion. And what was cool, and they mentioned this if you watch the broadcast, Strafasi joined his grandfather, Frank Strafasi, who won the 1935 U.S. Amateur public winner at that time. So he never got to meet his grandfather, but now he and his grandfather have something very cool in common.
Yeah, it's what a neat thing, right, to share. I mean, just to win that in itself is a great thing, but to do something that that's in his family, pretty neat. Yeah, I mean, to play in the fog there, talk about, all right, well, what are you going to do? You got to figure out your line and just trust your swing and your numbers. Again, pretty incredible stuff there. And that's a place where we need to go. We need to take a trip to Bandon Dunes.
Let's write it off.
Yeah, everybody who I know people have gone. There's a Buffalo connection there, too. They just say it's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible place.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal right on the water.
Looks expensive, too. Looks expensive, but incredible.
When we do our show there, which will be, 4 a.m. West Coast time, live at 7, we'll just set it up that we'll play right afterwards. I'm sure it'll all be taken care of, right?
Yeah, right. I just don't need a caddy that's going to touch the bunker for me. Yeah, yeah, because Kevin called me on it instantly. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, we talked about that last week. Yep, don't touch the bunker.
Yeah, a little tip.
That's right.
Kevin rule 101.
There's your second Western New York PGA tip of the week. Don't take your hand into the bunker and move it all around to try to see what the sand is like. Yes.
And then say you didn't do it while cameras were on you. But whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. Another timeout here on Tee to Green. When we come back, news on the Phoenix Open for next year, Champions Tour report, and Stacey Lewis and what she paraphrased, a round from hell for her in a win. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Tee to Green. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, Jeff Midas here on WGR.
Hey, we're back. Our final segment of Tee to Green. And I want to thank our friends at Scroy Financial, the family-owned financial planning firm in West Seneca, for the support of Tee to Green this season. Hey, be sure to reach out to scroyfinancial.com. That's scroifinancial.com. To learn more about how you and your family's finances and how they can help you out with a free, complimentary, that's redundant, a complimentary one-hour consultation on your finances.
Final segment here on Tee to Green. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Midas. Let's get to our Champions Tour report now, brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the official clothing of all of us here on Tee to Green. Well, in the second round of the Champions Tour event this week, Bernhard Langer shot a 64. He's going to turn 63 next week. So that shoot your age thing, he's probably going to do that quite a bit here, I'm sure, at some point throughout the next course of the years. Kevin, we always talk about Gary's player and how good he looks for his age. Well, I think after him, I think if we said who's next that we're impressed by for somebody at his age, I might have to throw Bernhard Langer in that mix. What he's able to do, how he looks so just conditioned and trained. It's maybe not a surprise that an almost 63-year-old shot a 64.
Yeah, he is, and I've seen him up close a few times. I'll never see him come out of the workout trail at the Players' Championship a couple of years ago, and I'm just like, wow. Yeah, he is still put together. His putting, though, like his ability to change and adapt when he couldn't anchor it anymore and figure out a way to make it work is the reason why he's shooting so well.
You know, he's been fighting that for 25 years, I feel like. He has adapted and overcome with a million, jillion different ways to putt. Credit to him, you know, just persevering and finding a way to compete at a high level. When your putter fails you and you can find a way to still compete with different formats of putting, that's awesome. That's really, really cool.
Absolutely. Okay, news and notes here to finish up. The Phoenix Open, Waste Management, the biggest crowd in golf, the rowdiest crowd in golf, the famous 16th hole, which pretty much looks like a frat party almost all the time. They're not going to have their traditional build-out for the 2021 event. They said they're hoping to have some fans, but they have told suite holders and companies that normally have prime spots there, Kevin, on that 16th hole. It's going to look different. You may not have the normal space nor the tickets that you normally have.
Yeah, that's it's be hard to fathom that event without the Coliseum there at 16. But listen, things are a little bit different, and they've got a plan, make some sort of plan here. And it'll cost a lot of money to put those structures up and down. So if you're unsure if you can have those people and sell those suites, then it's not cost effective.
Yep. A couple other news and notes here. Bones is going to remain on JT's bag throughout the remainder of the playoffs. Thomas, let's see where he is here on the FedEx. Oh, yeah, he's first. So I'm guessing he's going to play in all three events, so we'll get to see a little more of Bones, Kevin, coming up.
Yeah, well, and the other interesting thing, you know, they've won together, all right, on the bag in Memphis at the FedEx St. Jude. But the final two playoff events are also NBC televised events. Bones works for NBC and golf.
Mic him up.
That's right.
Well, yeah. I mean, is he going to pull double duty on Thursday, Friday? But if JT is in the hunt, like, yeah, he's. I'm guessing JT being on his bag pays a little bit better than, and I'm sure the NBC gig pays well. But well, if JT wins, it pays a little better.
They got to be afraid of an open mic around JT, maybe. Also, that might be the other problem.
I doubt it. I doubt that. Yeah.
He was such a good commentator in the Tiger Phil Brady Peyton match, no doubt. Jeff, Tiger has put, he quoted it,
his old faithful putter back in his bag. We know he switched the last time out. Didn't go so well at the PGA Championship.
Yeah, which one is that? The old Trillium putter from, you know, and ever? But, you know, he looked like he did struggle with that putter. And, you know, it looks like he's searching. It's frustrating to watch the greatest putter of all time search a little bit with the putter. When you see him switching putters frequently like that, that's usually not a good sign. Doesn't mean you're putting well at all.
Hey, Brian, Roy McIlroy put a blade putter in the bag away from that spider mallet. Also, so he changed putters this week.
Yeah, he's been quiet. Yeah. A
few minutes left here on Tee to Green. Let's finish with this story from the LPGA. Stacey Lewis claimed her 13th career win last week at the Ladies Scottish Open.
But her first since having a child, by the way.
That's right. Congratulations to her.
So
you'd think she'd be excited, but the most quotable stuff from her afterwards was talking about her playing partners, where she says was excessive slow play. Lewis was grouped with Azara Munoz and Jennifer Song for both round three and round four. She said, "I had a hard time staying in rhythm throughout." She said, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing some of this here. She goes, "I was trying to think of songs in between holes and in between shots that I could hit in order to just keep myself focused on something else. I tried not to allow it affect me. Just to try to get away from everything, singing those songs, passing the time." So they're playing in threesomes, Jeff. The final round took 5 hours and 16 minutes for a threesome.
I think she also said she thought about singing them out loud to get her playing partners moving with her. Yeah, tremendously frustrating, I can imagine. You know, that takes all the fun out of golf, and it starts at college golf and high school golf, and it's worked its way up to the tour. That's brutal. That is tremendously slow, even by tour standards. I can imagine why she's frustrated. Good for her. She won anyway.
Kevin, the pace of play, it's a problem we've been talking about for years on this show, and it's not going away.
Listen, I see it out here on tour, and you know some of the offenders – the one that was talked about last year at this event, actually, Liberty National, got put on the clock in round one. So, and you know who that is.
No, so, you can say it. You can say it.
Oh, it's Bryson. It was Bryson DeChambeau.
We got put on the clock.
Yeah. They're playing for a lot at stake. I get it. But there's
playing
sometimes.
Slow doesn't make you play better.
I think all of us listening, we all play better when we play faster at a better pace, get a rhythm going. Yeah. But
yes, for all of you going to play at a public golf course here in Western New York this weekend, your round should not last 5 hours and 16 minutes. That's the moral of this story. You should do a job not only for yourself, but your playing partners. Everybody do your little things and we could spend an entire show on this, but do the little things. Have course awareness. Look at the group behind you. Look at the group in front of you. All that sort of stuff. Don't be that guy that doesn't know what's going on around him.
Yeah. Keep up with the group in front of you. That's all you have to do. It's not that hard.
Okay. Good advice. We'll finish on that. Kevin, enjoy the weekend from TPC Boston.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you can listen to us on PGA Tour Radio on the PGA Tour app. It's free on the scoreboard. Just click on the headphones. We're on from 1 to 6:30.
Okay, awesome. We'll be listening. Jeff, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, Brian. Kevin, have fun.
Thanks to Derek Kramer for producing. Thanks to PGA Pro Jeff Mitis and Kevin Sylvester. I'm Brian Colesiel. I thank you for listening. Tee to Green every Saturday. We'll talk to you next week right here on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.